01419831100.
My word, as I walk in the doors, the sea of red, the heat as well. Yes, it's poinsettia time. Christmas wouldn't be the same without them, would it? And I've arrived today with Peter McMahon from Kilmoon Cross Nurseries. Peter, thank you very much for inviting me up. This is some show you have here.
Welcome to Florida. Yeah, it's quite big. We have about 2.5 acres of poinsettias at the moment, which we're getting ready for the Christmas market. We're actually packing out now. You can see the boxes going out. They'll go out in the morning. They'll be packed out in the middle of the night. So that's what happens there.
What's the story of this operation? How did it all begin?
This operation started off as a hobby with my wife, Nolene, about 25 years ago. She actually grew seeds in the kitchen for the garden, and that's how it started. And then we thought a lot of the neighbours were asking for her plants when she grew them, and we had a little glasshouse where we used to live in Rathaut. So we used to spend a lot of time growing for the neighbours. And then we thought maybe there might be a business in here. So we spent about 1.5 years looking for a suitable site. And we bought a 14-acre site here in Kilmoon to allow us for expansion. Our first glasshouse was about 1/4 acre. Then we increased to 1/2, then 3/4, then 1 acre. And now we've 3.5 acres.
Under glass.
And hopefully more, all under glass and fully heated with screens, fully computerised, and a new biomass burner, which we've just installed, which was just under 500,000.
I just spotted it there on the way in.
It's wonderful.
That's going to make a big difference.
Huge difference to our heat. We're actually finding that the heat is different. That it's the heat it actually produces is kind of different to the oil because it's more steady because we have buffer tanks. So we have a huge amount of literage in water that we're heating all the time. So there's never a drop in temperature. It's so steady. So it's like, you know, a lovely day in Florida, 20 degrees in spring. That's what it's like. So it's lovely. And humid as well, of course.
How many poinsettias would you produce for a Christmas season?
Probably just under 100,000 because we do allow for losses as well. And you have to because the different types of breeds, sometimes you can get issues with new breeds that are coming on the market. And we do a lot of trials for the breeders across Europe. And some of them mightn't work out. So we have to cover to make sure that we have the correct amounts for our customers.
What's the story with poinsettias? When does the sowing begin? Talk me through the season till they arrive at this stage as we look at them here, the finished product for Christmas.
Well, it actually starts in January, would you believe? That's when we start negotiations with Dunn Stores. So they decide then, you know, how many they want and you know, what different types of ranges. Like they might go from a mini to a large to ceramics. We have a huge one this year, which is a winner. There's gold and the gift ceramic, which is a beautiful gift item for Christmas. We're bored. Be certified. So it starts in January, then we place our orders in March, and then the plants which are cuttings and rooted cuttings come in June.
Where do they come from?
They come from Germany and some of them come from Holland. We buy in from different breeders to ensure that we have a safe net. In other words, that let's say a particular variety had a problem, then you're in serious trouble if you've only one type, you know, so we try to avoid that.
Does it take a lot to look after them and get them to the stage we are looking at today?
The only description I can give you is I have a new... My first grandson was born about 12 weeks ago. It's just like a baby from June to now. Anything can go wrong. You know, they can get colds, they can get viruses, they can get, you know, if you have problems with heat, everything must right. Your watering has to be right. Your feeding has to be right. So it's they take a lot of care to do it right. I mean, you can grow mass stuff and have rubbish in the shops, but we grow a very quality product here and we're very proud of it. So from that standpoint, it's very important that they really look after it. And here's the mother of the crop now, Nolene, coming up to us. Nolene is the one that minds them and feeds them, and she really looks after the growing program with my daughter, Andrea. They're the experts in all that area.
You mentioned there that Dunn's dictate the numbers. So it's into Dunn's you sell all of your poinsettias?
No, not all of our poinsettias, but the majority of our poinsettias go into Dunn's. We've been with Dunn's now for, oh my God, over 20 years. It's a real success story. The first lot of poinsettias we put in, I think we put in about 1,000 about 21 years ago or 20 years ago. And we went in as a second supplier and now we are the main supplier. So that's really... we're very proud of that. And we've worked with them a long time. It hasn't always been easy, but we've worked with them. And we continue, hopefully, to work with them into the future.
they're temperamental. They're like babies, you say. We're looking at the main familiar red ones here, but different varieties, different sizes, different types you mentioned there a moment ago.
Absolutely, yeah. That's critical because some of the varieties are smaller and compact, and a lot of the customers really don't know that. The small, compact ones can be really beautiful, and they take a different type of growing program than the large ones. They require different types of heat, different types of feeding. We also grow them in different size pots, which impacts the size of the plant as well. So all that criteria, all those factors are weighed in because, you know, as I said, our key customer will require so many of a typical type and, you know, and a range from, you know, medium going up to large and extra large. You know, that's the way it works. And
is red the predominant colour?
Oh, I think if you go into a shop, if you go anywhere, the rumour is that if a person goes into a shop and they want a white poinsettia and the customer doesn't have it, and they only have a red one, they'll take it. But if they're looking for a red one and they only have a white one, they'll probably take it. But we do see the colours. You can see them over there. White is quite becoming very popular. And we do quite a number of white ones. And they're much smaller, but they're beautiful plants, you know, on a table at Christmas and things like that. Absolutely lovely.
Now here, with all this glass and the fluctuating Irish weather and the feeding they need as well, is that all done on an IT mechanical basis? You couldn't possibly do much manual input into this, could you?
We actually do a lot of it from the house. Where everything here is IT. We have our own Wi-Fi here. We transmit all the data, for example, all our burners. You know, we used to have the oil burners, which we were using before the biomass came in. All the alarm systems are on there. Our temperatures, I can give you the last 2 years' temperature levels. I can give you the wind levels, humidity levels. We also can feed from computer. All our irrigation is on computer as well. So it's completely computerized. And when you see the boiler, you'll get a good idea of what I mean. Yeah.
Behind every good man, there's a fantastic woman. You mentioned your wife already. And two of your adult children as well.
Two adult children, yes. Andrea, who's the general manager now, she works very closely with Nolene. We're sort of, you know, not easing back, but we're getting ready to step out. And my son, PJ McMahon, he plays for Corrigha, by the way. And he's
very important to mention that. He's playing in a big game on Sunday.
Correct, yeah. So I hope there's no celebrations because he's needed here on Sunday night. But I'm hoping they'll win, yeah.
Please God, they will win. Yeah, we wish him well, so we do. The crop will have to wait maybe for a few hours until he's back in action. So
PJ's an agricultural scientist, and he also has a postgraduate business degree from the college, Smurfit College as well. Yes, UCD. And Andrea has a marketing degree. So there's a lovely blend there between the two of them. PJ looks after, we're sort of reducing our carbon footprint. We're anti-chemicals, so we're going away from all that now. So PJ has a huge role in the business there, and Andrea is involved in the marketing. In fact, she has branded one of our new ranges, which is Fairy Tale Flowers. So it's a beautiful product range. And it was very successful last year and really increased our sales quite significantly. So we're very pleased with that.
When will all of these be gone?
Well, hopefully Christmas Eve. If they're not, they're not really saleable after Christmas Eve. They are in Holland and Denmark and Germany, but not so much in Ireland, which is interesting. I could never really understand it. They're kind of bought up until the end of January in Holland and in Germany, and not so much in Ireland. But every year we've managed always to clear the houses like it's empty, and then we're sad, and then we want it filled again, obviously, with the summer crop, which is wonderful growing the summer crop as well, because there's so many different varieties and so many different colours. And so many different types of plants. So, you know, the summer is lovely as well.
Yeah, because you do much more than the ponds here. There's a whole range of flowers and pot plants grown.
Absolutely, yeah. We do right across the range. I mean, we do geraniums, fuchsias, all the bedding plants. I think there's, I don't know, it must be about 300 or 400 product lines in the summer, maybe more. I mean, it's just huge. When I look at the growing programme, like, it's expanding each year, and it's just great to see it.
For late lunch listeners who purchase one of these beautiful special Christmas plants, taking care of them, looking after them. You said they're like children on their way up to growth. When you get them and take them home, have you a few tips?
Well, they're adults then, right? Mm. So hopefully they've been trained properly and potty trained. they are adults. And the interesting thing is they can last for a long, long time if you look after them. The key thing about poinsettias is you don't shock them. They don't get too much cold at any one time. They're a beautiful gift. I mean, they can be down at a Christmas tree in a house. And once the temperature is reasonably steady, it's fine. And what I mean by steady is if it's normal room temperature and it only drops a few degrees at night, you know, but if it's boiling in the daytime and then it goes down to -2, or if it's on a window, that's the wrong place to have your poinsettia. Keep it away from the window because the cold from the window will transmit to the plant, and that can kill it. Do not overwater them. They don't like to be sitting in water. They like to be kept reasonably dry, you know, so that's a key thing with them as well. And the other thing as well is remember to take off the cellophane. And I'll tell you why. I remember a particular customer had commented that their poinsettia was wonderful and they had it the following year and they wanted me to see it, and I went to look at it and actually it was still in the sleeve. I said, oh my God, that's not the way you have it. No, you take off the sleeve. But you can get it to grow next year as well. If you take it out in the springtime around March, April, and you cut it, you can leave it outside once there's no frost, and you may not get it to colour like we do in time, but you'll have a lovely plant. We had one here about 4 or 5 foot tall a few years ago. It was the grandfather of one of the original crops that came in. But again, it took a lot of work. And if you don't water it and you don't look after it, it got so big, it didn't fit in our system here. So one day somebody forgot to water it and we lost it. But that's the way it is. You just have to be careful. You do not overwater them. That's key. And no huge changes in temperatures. And after that,
in the spring, cut them back. And when they start coming on again, a little bit of feed.
Oh, no, throw them out and buy another one next
time. Of course.
That's what my wife always says, Jerry.
I was wondering, would I get that one by you? Not a chance.
No,
yes,
not
of
a
course,
chance.
Yes.
But they are lovely. They're a lovely plant, yeah.
Peter, we've come to your latest bit of tech kit, your pride and joy. What am I looking at here?
My new toy. You're looking at just under a 1 megawatt burner, which is it's a wood chip or wood pellet burner. It can burn 4 or 5 different types of wood. And that's strategic because, you know, if one is not in supply or there's issues, we can burn another type. And we only have to make minor amendments to our burner. We have here, the burner is actually heating these three big buffer tanks, as you see outside. So they're the buffer tanks that feed the glass houses, okay? The burner never actually puts water into the glass house. It heats these buffers. So its job is to heat the buffers. Now, we have fail-safes on it that if it goes below 60 degrees, our main pumps inside have to shut down because you can't allow condensation to get into the burner. It's not good for it. So, but to date, we've had no issues with it. It's been burning quite well. And, you know, we've tried a few different types of wood. We've had willow in it. We've had wood chip in it, which is a kind of willow. And now we're on wood pellets at the moment. So we're evaluating all the different types of production.
How does that send the heat actually into the houses from the buffers? What does it heat? Is it a range of pipes in there? Or is it an air system heating the air?
It's heating up over 6 miles of piping. About an inch and a half, okay, under every bench. That's the way it works. You can see the big pipes here going in. So there's a flow and a return. So what happens is this flow goes in, it connects up to our main system inside and then sends water to all three houses. That's the way it works. And then the same returning. And we have, we have panels inside, electronic panels, to stop the water if it drops below a certain temperature. Now, we haven't had that yet. We haven't really had cold weather here yet. I really want to evaluate it when it's -3 or -4 outside. Then we'll get really good stats to work with, you know, and see how it is. But it's a beautiful piece of kit.
It's fantastic. And you feed it with pellet mainly. And it doesn't burn all the time. It burns, then the buffers store and send it on.
Yeah, what happens is there, she's just turned off now, right?
You just hear it going up.
So what that means is it's reached its temperature, which is, I think, about 80 degrees. 85 degrees thereabouts. It goes up to a max of 85. And as you see on the buffer tanks here, they're all at 80 now. So all the water, put your hand in that.
Let me just do that for a second. Oh, yeah.
Now, that's at 80 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, and there's no...
But it's insulated.
Yeah, it's insulated. Yeah. There's nothing on the outside there.
Yeah, so you can't feel anything. It's all protected. So that then will be ready when the house calls the water, it'll take the water. And once it drops back to a certain level, I think the boiler will kick in again at 70 degrees. And she'll heat up again, and it's the same ongoing cycle forever. That's what happens.
Cutting-edge technology in Kilmoon.
Well, I mean, people used to say, science and physics and going to the moon and all that. But agriculture is extremely scientific. I mean, we work on hysteresis of 1 degree. We work on, parameters very tight. And the equipment and the technology we're using now in agriculture is second to none. In fact, our screens are from, that idea came from the Apollo program, okay? The insulation. Remember the spacesuits? That's where these screens, because they reflect so much light and they allow in so much light, and then they also keep keep the glass houses warm. You know, all the IT technology, as I said, everything is on our phones and on computers. Everything is electronic. You know, barcoding systems right the way through to, you know, we get all our data in from Dunn Stores. All comes in electronically. We then we get POs for every product line. We then get everything ready, shipped. All our boxes are barcoded. They go into the Denigan system. They're all computerized, and they're delivered to the shop that day. So, you know, it's fresh today, like just like your eggs or your bread, your pancetta is there, packed out, and arrives the same day. So it's some logistics involved in it as well. So as I said, we through Denigan's, we supply at the 32 counties for Dunn Stores. So it's not just the south.
Fantastic. And just before I leave you today to continue enjoying your toys and getting the poinsettias out to the shops for Christmas time, just notice quite a few bodies around the place. You're a significant employer, and obviously it goes up and down with the seasons.
Well, we have 10 permanent staff at the nursery all year round. But if you talk about equivalent heads, you know, when we have temporaries, like, for example, we have 3 additional temporaries now packing out for Christmas. We'll have 3 or 4 again in the summer. And we could have them from anything from, you know, 5 to 6 months. So if you divide that by 2, that's another... If it's 6 people, it's an extra 3 heads, so that'll be really 13. But permanent staff, we've had them all for the last 10 years, 12 years. We don't really... You kind of come here, you don't go, you don't want to leave.
The only thing that leaves are the poinsettias, and they're on their way to Dunn Stores right round the 32 counties, and they're growing here in the northeast by Peter McMahon and his family at Kilmoon Cross Nurseries. Peter, happy Christmas.
Many happy returns, Jerry. Thank you.